Is Hurricane Irene one disaster too many for FEMA?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Residents of the East Coast today are surveying more of the damage, which could top billions of dollars in the wake of Hurricane Irene, with a whole lot of wind, water, and tree damage. The federal agency charged with helping out in times like these is in a money pinch. The Washington Post reports the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, with under $1 billion left in its disaster assistance fund, is temporarily suspending payments to infrastructure projects in places hit hard by tornadoes and other natural disasters this year. Ed O'Keefe writes for the Post's Federal Eye blog, and he covers the federal government there. Hi, Ed.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How does Hurricane Irene affect FEMA's ability to keep up relief efforts in other places like Joplin, Missouri, or Tuscaloosa, Alabama, that were really hit hard by tornadoes back in the spring?
People who applied for individual assistance to fix their houses or their businesses are still going to get money. The state and local governments who requested federal aid to rebuild schools and roads and police stations, some of that money is likely to get put on hold in the coming days in those southern states and out in Joplin, because FEMA needs to spend some money, obviously, dealing with the situation along the East Coast.
How are politics being played in FEMA's funding?
There is a bill out there right now that would give them $1 billion more for this fiscal year, which ends at the end of September. But of course, this year, amid that appetite to cut, already some Republican lawmakers are saying that if FEMA needs more money, Congress is going to have to find ways to cut money out of other government programs and agencies. So it very well could be that this becomes sort of a proxy war or a side battle in the midst of that super committee debate, or it may be that this just moves quickly considering the need across the good part of this country.
What if Irene had been much more severe? I mean, do we have enough money in the federal government to cover a worst-case scenario?
If there had been a much wider disaster, it would require Congress to come in and quickly pass supplemental funding. But again, in this year where you're talking about cutting spending while you spend for these unknown disasters, it could be that politics gets in the way, or people just stand up and say on principle, look, if we're going to spend money, we need to find a way to cut it from somewhere else. And we'll just have to wait and see in the coming weeks whether or not that is a debate that is held or is ignored because of the widespread damage.
Ed O'Keefe with The Washington Post. Ed, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, while a lot of people in the East were hit hard by Irene, some businesses in New York got a bump. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
In parts of Red Hook, Brooklyn, water was almost hip high. Even at Dry Dock Wine and Spirits, owner Mary Dudenay Kyle says the basement did flood, but all in all, Hurricane Irene was good for the bottom line.
The day before was one of the busiest we've had since we opened.
Dudenay says with bottles flying off the shelves, there was kind of a festive atmosphere.
It was an awful lot of fun because it was a party. Everyone was getting ready for a party.
As of Sunday night, that party seemed to be continuing. Dudenay had reopened and had almost completely sold out of a special rum that's a key ingredient in a favorite neighborhood cocktail called the Dark and Stormy. With the subway shut down, taxis were also at a premium.
I've been out like since last night.
That's yellow cab driver Neb Hermes. And being willing to brave the wind and rain paid off.
So are people tipping better than normal today?
Yeah, most definitely. They are up to $40 for the short ride.
Queens and Staten Island experienced serious flooding. So did parts of Lower Manhattan, including buildings in the city's financial district. Chris Tribble works for Verizon. He was pumping water out of the basement of a skyscraper just 200 feet from New York Harbor.
We're actually pumping out the water in the facilities in the vault so all the cables won't get wet.
Tribble says the water is still rising, which has the city working overtime to try and prevent corrosive salt water from shutting down phone lines and power.
If the pressure keeps coming up, the water's going to keep going, so we have to keep on pumping.
Tribble says he expects this will be a very long week. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are higher right now. The NASDAQ is up nearly 2.5%. The Dow up 1.5%, 174 points at 11,459. President Obama tapped Princeton University economist Alan Krueger to head up his Council of Economic Advisors. And the government said today consumer spending rose in July by 0.8%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
Today, members of the National Small Business Association are hosting a forum on patent reform. Now, these days, patents go to the person who can prove they invented an idea. But under legislation working its way through Congress, patents could go to the first person to file. Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
If the patent bill becomes law, the new rule of thumb will be file fast, file frequently.
So I think the small companies are going to need to start filing on innovations, no matter how small they are.
Gene Quinn is a patent attorney.
In order to make sure that if the one that they're working on does pan out, they've got the basic coverage locked in.
That can get very expensive. Quinn says legal fees are in the thousands to file each application. Some products can have hundreds of patents, and entrepreneurs may not know which to protect. Ron Katznelson runs a startup called Bi-Level Technologies.
A lot of times it takes, you know, 8 months or a year to actually figure out that the specific aspect of the invention is not worth protecting. So you don't file it, you don't go through the expense.
But Gene Quinn says there is an upside. It could push companies to be more proactive about their inventions. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, Time Magazine is out with the 10 creepiest product mascots. McDonald's Hamburglar made the list, as did that old Domino's pizza pusher, the Noid. And Time's headliner, Burger King's creepy plastic big-headed king. As we reported last week, Burger King got rid of that ad campaign because customers were a little creeped out by him. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
For the U.S. military, gas isn't priced in dollars per gallon, but lives per fuel convoy.
They would commandeer sheep and camels and attach explosives to these animals and then herd the animals in front of our vehicles and blow them up.
I'm Bob Moon. The Pentagon takes up a life and death struggle to go green. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.